Okay, so get this. You buy a car, right? And you fall behind on the payments and it gets repossessed.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah, total bummer. But then, 5 years later, you get hit with a lawsuit for even more money.
Oh, wow.
Crazy, right? It happened, though. This is a real case. SunTrust Bank versus Venable.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, we've got a stack of legal briefs and analyses, and let me tell you, it gets pretty wild.
I bet. So this is going to be a deep dive into the Uniform Commercial Code then, right? The UCC.
You know, the UCC governs so many everyday transactions, it's kind of mind-blowing.
It really is, and this case is a perfect example of how complicated things can get.
Especially when you throw in car sales and security interests, it's a recipe for a legal thriller.
No kidding. So let's break it down for our listeners. What exactly happened with this Ms. Venable and her minivan?
Well, she bought a minivan back in 2006, financed it through a dealership.
Standard stuff.
Yeah, totally. And then, unfortunately, she defaulted on the loan.
Okay, so the vehicle was repossessed in 2007. Pretty
All right.
typical so far.
Right. But here's where it gets interesting. Almost 5 years later, SunTrust Bank, who took over the loan, they filed a lawsuit against Ms. Venable.
For the remaining balance, I'm guessing.
You got it. It's called a deficiency action.
Basically saying, hey, we took the car back, but you still owe us money.
Exactly. Now, I'm no legal expert, but shouldn't there be some kind of time limit on that?
You would think, right? That's the whole crux of this case. It all comes down to which statute of limitations applies.
Okay, so are we talking about the 4-year one for sales contracts under the UCC?
Or the 6-year one for like general written contracts. That's what the court had to figure out.
Tricky. So how do we even begin to untangle that? Was
Huh.
this a straightforward car sale or something more?
Well, the court had to determine the predominant purpose of the contract.
Predominant purpose.
Yeah, was it primarily a sale with a security interest attached, or was it something else entirely?
Okay, I'm following you. So to do that, the Georgia Supreme Court, they laid out this 5-factor test.
Five factors. Sounds comprehensive.
It is. Let's unpack it. The first one focuses on the language of the contract itself.
All right, so what did the contract actually say?
Well, get this. The title was Simple Interest Conditional Sale Contract with options for balloon payment and vehicle return.
Okay, seller and purchaser were probably the parties listed too.
You know, seems pretty clear cut,
In
right?
the surface, yeah, but you know, there's always more to the story.
Oh, absolutely. The court also looked at Mrs. Venable's testimony.
Makes sense. They wanted to understand her intentions, I imagine.
Right. Was her main goal to secure financing or to buy the minivan?
My guess is she just wanted the minivan.
You would be correct. The court found that she just wanted to buy the van.
So that supports the idea that this was primarily a sales contract.
Exactly. But then there's the financing aspect of it.
Right, we can't forget about that. That's a key piece of the puzzle.
And that brings us to factor number three, the economic reality of the deal.
Ah, so the court had to look at the money trail?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they found that SunTrust didn't charge a separate fee for the security interest,
Interesting. So the entire $29,000 was just for the minivan itself.
which seems to suggest that the sale was the primary purpose, not the financing.
Right, they weren't making a big deal out of the financing side of things.
Exactly. And get this, they even rejected SunTrust's argument that the Motor Vehicle Sales Finance Act should control how the contract is defined.
So they really wanted to focus on the core of the agreement.
Exactly. It's not just because there's a security interest that suddenly it turns into some complex financial instrument.
Exactly. Okay, so three factors down, two to go. What's next?
All right, factor number four. This one delves into the legal character of the security interest itself.
Legal character.
Okay. And what they found was that it existed solely to protect the sales transaction.
So, in other words, it was there as a safety net for the lender.
Exactly. Think of it like buying a house with a mortgage.
Ah, I see. The bank has a security interest in the property, but it doesn't change the fact that you bought the house.
You got
But
the statute of limitations for the sales contract doesn't change just because there's a mortgage involved.
okay, starting to see how this all fits together. We've got one last factor, right? What's the final piece of the puzzle?
The last factor focuses on consistency in the lay. Basically, the court wanted to make sure their decision would align with how most other states handle similar situations.
That makes sense. They're trying to avoid creating a patchwork of different rules.
Exactly. And by applying the 4-year statute of limitations for sales contracts, they ensured uniformity across jurisdictions.
Which is kind of a big deal with the UCC, right? One of its main
I
goals.
got it. So after carefully weighing all 5 of these factors, the court reached a decision. Did they side with the bank or with Mrs. Venable?
They sided with Ms. Venable.
No way.
Yeah, they said the main purpose of the contract was the sale of the minivan.
So that means the 4-year statute of limitations for sales contracts under the UCC.
That's one.
Yeah.
And since SunTrust waited almost 5 years to file their lawsuit.
Too late.
Way too late.
Wow. So Mrs. Venable, she actually won.
She did. Big win for the little guy going up against a big bank like that.
David and Goliath?
Exactly. And the court really hammered home their reasoning. They said the whole point of SunTrust's lawsuit was to get the rest of the money for the van.
Which makes sense. That's like the whole point of selling something, yeah, right?
Actually, it's all about the purchase price.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that's a fundamental part of any sale, whether or not there's a security interest involved.
Mm. Yeah, that makes sense. But it sounds like this case has some pretty big implications.
It does. Think about it. This ruling could impact anyone who's ever financed a car.
Like a lot of people.
Yeah. And it could even have implications for bigger financing deals, you know, the kind businesses use.
But like inventory and equipment.
Exactly. Like imagine a furniture store that needs to stock up on sofas and chairs.
Okay.
They might use something called floor plan financing, where a lender basically gives them a line of credit to buy the furniture.
Interesting.
And these arrangements, they often involve both sales and security interests, just like the contract in the Venable case.
Hold on. For those of us who aren't legal experts, what exactly is a security interest?
It's basically a legal claim to the furniture in case the store can't repay the loan.
So it's like collateral.
Yeah, like a safety net for the lender.
Okay. So you're saying this ruling in SunTrust v. Venable, it could impact how these types of business financing deals are structured.
Absolutely. And it highlights how important it is for businesses and their lawyers to be super clear about what their contracts are actually for.
So is it a sale? Is it financing? Or is it some kind of hybrid?
That's the question. It's not just about what a contract does, but also about how clearly it says what it does.
So you're saying read the fine print.
Well, it's more than just reading the fine print. It's about understanding the different parts of a contract and how they all work together.
I see.
This case kind of exposed this tension between Article 2 of the UCC, which deals with sales, and Article 9, which covers secured transactions.
Okay, back up for a second. What are Article 2 and Article 9?
Well, the UCC is like this big rule book for commercial transactions, right?
Right.
And it's divided into different articles, each covering specific types of deals. So Article 2 sets the rules for sales contracts, like when you buy a car from a dealership.
Gotcha.
And then Article 9, that one, governs secured transactions, like when a bank lends money to a business and takes a security interest in their inventory.
Makes sense.
So in this case, the court had to figure out which article applied, the one for sales or the one for secured transactions.
And because the minivan purchase was considered a sale?
Article 2 and its 4-year statute of limitations, that's what they went with.
And that's why SunTrust's lawsuit was tossed out?
Yep. They missed the deadline. Case closed.
Interesting. So if they had structured the contract differently, they might have actually won.
Potentially.
Yeah.
If they had made the security interest a more prominent part of the deal or charged a separate fee for it, who knows?
So it's not just about what's in the contract, it's how it's presented.
Exactly. Words matter, especially in legal documents.
That's for sure. This has been a fascinating deep dive.
It
really shows how even a simple car purchase can get so complicated legally. So as we wrap up our deep dive into SunTrust v. Venable,
yeah,
what's the big takeaway here?
I think the big thing is that predominant purpose test.
Yeah, what's the deal with that?
Well, it's not like some magic formula or anything. It's more like a tool that courts use to cut through all the legal jargon and really figure out what the contract is all about.
So they're basically saying, don't try to hide behind fancy words.
Exactly. They're looking at the substance of the deal.
Get to the heart of the matter.
Right. It's about fairness and making sure contracts are interpreted according to what the parties actually intended.
In this case, it's also a good reminder about statutes of limitations.
Huge. Not just for lawyers either.
Right. It impacts everyone.
Whether you're buying a car, signing a lease, any kind of agreement.
Knowing those deadlines is crucial.
Absolutely. It's about protecting your rights.
It all comes down to informed consent, right?
Yeah. You can't just sign anything without understanding it.
Exactly. We need to know what we're agreeing to and what could happen down the line.
Otherwise, you could end up in a legal battle you weren't expecting.
Exactly. So for anyone out there thinking about financing a car or signing a contract, what's your advice?
Pay attention to the language. Don't be afraid to ask questions if something's unclear.
Good advice.
And if it's a complex transaction, get legal advice.
Right. Make sure you understand your rights and obligations.
It's better to be safe than sorry.
Well said. Well, folks, we've reached the end of our deep dive into SunTrust v. Venable.
Fascinating case.
It really is. Thanks for joining us, and remember, stay curious.